For ID the Future, this is David Klinghoffer. Discovery Institute's Censor of the Year Award recognizes success in choking off free speech on evolution and intelligent design. Today is Darwin Day, February 12, and the prize this year goes to the University of Chicago biologist Jerry Coyne, author of the popular blog Why Evolution is True. In 2013, Coyne was instrumental in pushing Ball State University in Indiana to formally ban teaching about the scientific theory of intelligent design. The move represents a milestone in the drive to push critics, to punish critics of Darwinian theory. Working with the extremist Freedom From Religion Foundation, Coyne focused his attention on gagging untenured Ball State physicist Eric Hedin, who had taught an interdisciplinary course that included a bibliography with books favoring and criticizing ID. Dr. Stephen Meyer, director of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, explains the importance of the case. Says Meyer, quote, "The chilling effect extends everywhere in science. Scientists know that speaking openly about weaknesses in Darwinian theory or about intelligent design as an alternative can mean the end of a vulnerable scholar's career. Hedin serves as an example to others," close quote. Quote, "This is very serious business," says Dr. John West, associate director of the Center for Science and Culture. "Censorship," he says, "retards the search for truth and hurts innocent people. Among diehard defenders of evolutionary orthodoxy, it's now standard operating procedure. If they could give a substantive reply to advocates of ID on the scientific merits, they would do so. Jerry Coyne is simply a bully," close quote, says Dr. West. Remember, friends, this is how the scientific consensus against Darwin skeptics and intelligent design advocates is maintained: by fear. In another recent censoring success, Coyne pressured the Los Angeles County Natural History Museum to erase a reference to, quote, "God's creatures" in a dedication sign placed by a donor. So let's be clear. In naming Coyne as Censor of the Year, we at the Center for Science and Culture are not bestowing an honor. While the idea of giving out a prize for something so malignant as censorship may sound like a lark, a joke, it's not. Why Coyne, though, and not some other nominee? Something that really stands out about his own efforts is the power differential between himself and his victim, Eric Hedin. Here's Coyne, comfortable as he could be, in what sure sounds like an easy yet highly prestigious position at the University of Chicago. His workload is evidently so light that he has time to blog at Why Evolution is True what seems like around the clock about frivolous pet topics. While he's ostensibly a scientist, his main passion is bashing religion. Coyne is protected by tenure. He's safe. On the other hand, we have Eric Hedin at a state school, Ball State, with considerably less cachet. Hedin actively publishes in his field, unlike Coyne, but he is not tenured. So his professional future is really on the line. His prospects are now far more fragile, thanks to Professor Coyne. Frittering away time blogging about cute animals and posting cartoons, insulting various religions, as Coyne does, was not, I'm fairly sure, something that Dr. Hedin would have felt free to do if he was inclined to do it, which is highly unlikely. So we have the powerful, prestigious, and above all, safe Jerry Coyne swooping in from the next state to rile up Hedin's employers, Ball State's administration. Coyne was not only successful in shutting down Hedin and getting intelligent design shut down on the campus as a whole. Worse, in a way, he exploited the difference in power between himself and Hedin to tyrannize a vulnerable younger scholar. Compared to some of our other nominees, Zach Coplin, for example, or Jamie Farren, there's no comparison. Coplin and Farren have targeted educators, school teachers in Louisiana, a college teacher in Texas, who were not less powerful than they. Coyne stands out for using his influence to dominate downward in the academic pecking order. That is contemptible. It is reprehensible. Having stepped on another less secure academician in order to please himself, Coyne should be ashamed. He should be hanging his head in embarrassment. But if you go check out his main public activity of late, over at Why Evolution is True, you can be sure to find him carrying on as usual, fatuous and inane as ever. In response to being named Censor of the Year, Jerry Coyne has predictably reveled, musing that, quote, such a prize really is an honor, coming as it does from an organization, meaning Discovery Institute, devoted to spreading lies to schoolchildren, close quote. Now, parse the logic of that one if you can. I think he means the lie that there's more than one view on Darwinian evolution in mainstream science. Well, Coyne should get to know the work and writing of his own University of Chicago colleague, biologist James A. Shapiro, who proposes natural genetic engineering as an alternative to Darwinism. Or Coyne should go over to Evolution News and Views and read Casey Leskin's What Are the Top 10 Problems with Darwinian Evolution? These are not idiosyncratic concerns, but Coyne assiduously refuses to acquaint himself with the reality that there is a fascinating and substantive debate going on. Meanwhile, he is so jazzed to be recognized as a censor and a bully that he grants me an honorary doctorate. Thank you. He writes, quote, thank you, Dr. Klinghoffer. The award is even more meaningful coming from a fellow Jew, and thanks to all the people at Discovery Institute, I will cherish this honor immensely, close quote. If only I were an untenured academic at a less fancy school than Coyne's, anxious about how I'm going to support my family if tenure doesn't work out for me, then Coyne could try to get me in trouble with my administration and endanger my employment too. With my newly minted PhD from Coyne University, perhaps now I can go and follow in Dr. Coyne's footsteps, punishing and intimidating working scientists with different views from my own, while I blog about how hard I work at tracking down adorable animal videos. In case any of his colleagues wonder what he does with his time, Coyne insists, quote, I write on this website between 6 and 8 a.m., before work hours. Posts are spread throughout the day, devoting the rest of the time to academic duties and writing a book, and I work 7 days a week, close quote. I bet they do wonder. The book he refers to is his vaunted religion-bashing volume that will no doubt appear someday. Frankly, I would love to know what some of Jerry Coyne's University of Chicago colleagues think. I mean, the vast majority who haven't given up on publishing in their own field to pursue unrelated interests in areas where they have no qualifications. I'm curious what the grad students in his department make of him. Is it their ambition to move on to other things once they've made it as he has? Somehow, I doubt it. I am unable to detect any recent publications by Coyne in his field. And if he has any interactions with students, the impact appears to be negligible. Go online and compare Coyne's zero ratings at ratemyprofessors.com, where no one has even bothered to rate him, to his victim, Eric Hedin's ratings, which notably emphasize how much they like Hedin and feel that he cares about them. Here's a good question. Today on Darwin Day, what would Charles Darwin say about our Censor of the Year, given the insistence of his follower, Dr. Coyne, that dissenting views should be suppressed, or failing that their existence should be denied? As we can't be reminded too often, Darwin favored fairly acknowledging other views, hearing them out, and responding substantively. He famously wrote, a fair result can be obtained only by fully stating and balancing the facts and arguments on both sides of each question, close quote. Darwin's legacy has been co-opted overwhelmingly by folks who think otherwise, which is why, in fact, we prefer to call Darwin Day something more fitting, namely Academic Freedom Day. For more on that, go to academicfreedomday.com. Still reveling, our Censor of the Year writes about how he's eager to know what he'll get as a prize. As I've already indicated, being recognized as a bully doesn't merit a prize conveying anything like honor. Yet we couldn't let this go totally unmarked by ceremony. Writes Coyne, quote, I hope the prize includes money. It's cassoulet season, and I'm hankering for a good French meal. If not that, then I'd really like a copy of the poster shown above. Close quote. He read our mind. In a photo series at Evolution News and Views, you can see our colleague Jens Jorgensen as he demonstrates a proper rolling technique with just such a poster. We found a tube for it in a forgotten corner of the mailroom. We walked it up to the FedEx location on 3rd Avenue for delivery today on Academic Freedom Day. So enjoy your poster, Dr. Coyne. As for the cassoulet, we tried getting it in the tube as well, but the beans kept rolling and falling out. Coyne will pardon the earthy aroma. This is David Klinghoffer for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.